This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 220, where today CJ and I are going to talk to Donovan Brown and Gopinath Chikakakari about Visual Studio Team Services from Microsoft. Recorded live October the 3rd, 2017.
A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery, from individual items to entire team sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com.
Good morning, CJ.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. I know you're what you're laughing about. I tried.
You gave it a good shot.
I practiced a bunch. One of the guests that we interviewed last week at Ignite around VSTS, I had a very hard time pronouncing their last name. So I think I got it right, but I apologize in advance now in the introduction if I messed that up. When we did the interview, it was always Gopi. So that was always, that's how Donovan, they referred to him. So I was like, okay, so Gopi works. And then I come back and try and pronounce it myself. And oh boy.
That's complicated. Yeah, good shot. Yeah. How are you anyway?
I'm doing good. I'm very glad to be home. I'm very glad to be out of a conference center and out of a hotel room. I'm very glad to be getting back to sleep at reasonable hours and getting up at reasonable hours again after Ignite. Man, Ignite is just, it is a great show. When I first heard about Ignite, what, 3-4 years ago, when they were going to put these 20-some thousand people together, I dreaded it big time. I was like, this isn't going to work. It's not going to work for me. It's too much. I don't want to do this many people. But, you know, this is the third year now that I've personally done Ignite, and I like it. I love the content, although I don't get to see hardly any content at the show. The thing for me that really gets this show is, you and I talked about a little bit about it with someone on Facebook the other day. I have a love-hate relationship with this show. I hate the fact that there's 25, 27, 24, whatever it is, 1,000 people. I hate the crowds and all that and the mass lunches and all that. But I absolutely love it in the sense that for Microsoft and for so many people that I interact with outside of Microsoft, it's effectively a command performance and everyone is there. So you have the opportunity to sit down and talk to any and everyone you really want to talk to. Sometimes schedules don't line up, but even the random conversations you have are just, it's so valuable to go.
Yeah, everybody's all in one spot. That's the good thing about it. You can cram more meetings and discussions with people into 1 week than you can in a year.
I agree. I really do enjoy it. It is nice to be home. I don't know about you, man. We talked a little about this in the pre-show, and I really don't want this to come across the wrong way, but I'm going to say it, and I hope people can understand what I'm saying. After being on a show at a conference for a week and dealing with adults and technical conversations mostly and all that, you get home, and I got 2 young kids. I got a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. It is very challenging to come home to your family, for me at least, to come home to your family and to not be like, short and all that. You're always on, you know, your best, mind your P's and Q's when you're dealing with customers and, you know, prospects and leads and all that kind of stuff and people that you interact with for work stuff. And sometimes just your fuse is a little short when it comes to the people that matter the most. And it's...
Oh, I'm right there with you. It's honestly, for me, I'm just out of words. You come back from a show, you spent the entire week talking and my word quota was spent on like Monday afternoon and still got the rest of the week. So I'm in word quota deficit right now. And I just feel like my brain is not functioning on all 4 cylinders. It might take me a little while to recover.
Yeah.
I know, as you can probably hear, my voice is a bit hosed and just lethargic and stuff. So it takes a little while to recover. And, but you get home with 2 small kids, mine are younger than yours, obviously. And they're so excited to see you and all of this. They really want you to be, you know, on your A++ game. And man, just not on my A++ game.
No. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
But it's great to be home. Great to be home, though.
It is good to be home. I'm good for like the first like few hours. Like we got home and I timed it perfect. I got home. We went out to dinner. I timed it I met them at the restaurant. We all sat down, had a great dinner. We got back from dinner. We all hung out, played a little board game, you know, chilled out and everything. And that was like, okay, I'm good. I'm in good shape. And the next morning you wake up and you're like, oh man, I really just can't wait to chill out. And it's like, hey, guess what? We got a swim meet to go to today. I'm like, oh, yeah.
game on. Yeah. You just want to be game off, right? And but you got to be game on.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
At any rate.
Hey, we survived, though. That's the main thing.
We did.
I'm not sure everybody could say that, but yeah, I made it back.
Yeah. Made it back. And I thought, you know, I tell you, I am really proud of what we did for the podcast last week, too. We did, as a team, man, we freaking knocked it out, got some great interviews. I know during the live show, we listed out a bunch of people that we were going to sit down with. We had a couple scheduling things where a couple of them fell through, a couple of them we had to cancel, or they had to cancel on us, which is fine. But we still have, I think we have three, including today's episode, we got three really good interviews that we sat down with people that we will be trickling out or dripping out over the next month. The first one being today, I'll get to that in just a minute. But the next two that we'll have, we sat down with Matt Bremer to talk about the business of Office 365 and Azure and his interaction with customers. He's a, I don't want to just call him a sales guy, but he's like an account rep for out of St. Louis with a bunch of very large customers. I won't mention the customers' names, but trust me, they're very big companies. And then the other one was you and I sat down, I think on the last day or the second to last day, with Omar Shaheen. And Shaheen and Adam Harmitz, both from the SharePoint Office 365 and OneDrive engineering team, and had a really good discussion with them going forward. So those will come out over the next few weeks. Today's interview, I was really thrilled about. I'll leave this in really quick. We've been wanting to get this guy on the show for a while. Admittedly, we've only reached out to him one time. But Donovan Brown is effectively, well, his title is the Cloud Developer Advocate, or principal cloud developer advocate for Microsoft. And really, he is Mr. DevOps for Microsoft. He is a frequent keynote presenter, frequent conference presenter, and it's somebody that I've always wanted to get on the show because I love, you know, when you watch somebody present, a lot of times you watch somebody present, or I think most of the time you watch somebody present, and they show different demos and stuff. And it used, you know, Scott Guthrie used to be like this for me. Scott doesn't do as many demos. He brings the people out on stage that really can execute those demos for the different keynotes. But you would see someone demo something on the stage, and it's kind of like, that's kind of cool, but you don't really get into it. Every single time that I've seen Donovan present in the last year or two, and probably going back a little bit farther than that, but it's really what stood out to me the last couple times I've seen him present is he's so passionate about DevOps and release management and Visual Studio Team Services. I'm a GitHub user, and then for a lot of other stuff, I use Bitbucket. But I walk away from his presentations and be like, you know what? I really want to try VSTS. I really want to give it another shake.
Yeah, his excitement is contagious, right? He's always really passionate about what he talks about. I don't think it's made up either. Like, I actually think he genuinely is excited about this stuff, and it comes across as very genuine, very exciting, and he has a very engaging mannerisms, you know, has a very engaging style, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm with you as well. Sometimes when I first started watching him in keynotes and things, I was like, man, this guy is just a little over the top. But then you see him a few times, you're like, wow, okay, it's actually genuine and he means this stuff. And so he's, yeah, great guy to talk to and always really interesting demos. He seems to really know his stuff.
He does. And I can tell you, so I know you weren't able to join us for this interview last week when we sat down at Ignite. I think I did this one on Tuesday afternoon. You know, remember when the takeaway that you and I had when we sat down with Scott Guthrie late last year, 2016, when, you know, you seen him present and then you and I know you had interacted with him a little bit prior to that interview when you were at Microsoft. And then again, last year when we sat down to interview him, you and I both walked out of that interview going, I was nervous going into it, but I was like, this was just another conversation. He was so approachable, he was so easy to talk to. Donovan is the exact same way. You see him on stage, what you see on stage, that's the person that you see behind closed doors as well. That guy was, I had a great time. I sat down with one of his colleagues as well. I'm going to try it again. Gopinath Chigarak. Wait, somebody say it again. Chigakakarigi. That's not right either. Chigakakari. There you go. I think I said, I just didn't say it fast enough. Or Gopi, as Donovan referred to him.
Gopi, there you go.
Yeah, it was really cool. I walked out of that. How's this for a testament? So, I'm a GitHub guy. I'm a Bitbucket guy. I'm moving my main projects for Voitanos. I'm moving them all over to my VSTS account this week. work items and everything, because of some of the stuff that we talked about last week kind of opened my eyes of going, you know what? I'm going to give VSTS a real shake this time. I'm going to migrate all my stuff over. I really wish, I've been searching for it this morning and can't really find it, but I really wish there was a whole, you know, import all the issues from Bitbucket repo over here as work items.
That'd be nice.
It doesn't exist.
Well, that's actually a very telling, that's very telling evidence, right? The fact that after a conversation, you're now prepared to give it a shot and see if it's going to, you know, work out for you is, that's what his job is, right? That's what his goal is to get people across to VSTS and give it a shot. So we had a discussion after you'd spoken to him, and I was like, yeah, we've been thinking about moving. We use Jira and GitHub, but, you know, we've been thinking about moving off Jira for a while and moving to VSTS for task and management and so forth. It made me sort of think, you know, we need to go do our due diligence again. So maybe he's got two converts from this one conversation.
Well, he's going to give me, I'm going to give it a fair shake. I'm not going to say I'm a convert, but I'm going to give it a shake. He, in the interview, as you'll hear, he has a really good way of saying, you know, here's what you should try to go do first. Do this first. Take your existing stuff you currently have and try this. I'm going the next step. I use the term, so release management for VSTS is the gateway drug. I don't think they like that based on their facial, you guys can't see that in the interview, but based on their visual, the way that they looked at me when I said that, and they were like, eh, and they started to go in a different direction with it. You'll hear that in the interview. But it sure, based on the way they described it, that's the way it kind of seemed like to me. That's like, let's give this a shot and then let's start retooling everything else. And you end up getting to like a strangulation pattern where I'm going to replace this with VSTS. The thing that I liked about it for me specifically, and I know you can do this with GitHub. I know you can do this with other tools as well, like Travis and Circle and all and CodeShip. The thing that I liked about this the most is how extensible VSTS is, but how extensible it is in the box and out of the box with other Azure services. So like for me, I want to be able to, once I've gone through and created a new chapter for my course, there are some artifacts in my repo that describe the chapter. Once I've rendered out the video, which I'm not going to put in VSTS, but once I've rendered out this big video, I then want to take it and say, push it out. And when I do, when it starts the build, it goes and uploads it to Wistia where I hold my videos, and it does a couple other updates here and there and moves the file over there and makes some changes via the Wistia API. I'm talking to Donna. I was like, this does not feel like it's really that big of a task to go through and set that up. So
yeah,
just feels good.
Yeah. I mean, we use it for our Windows builds right now, but we don't use it for our Docker builds. And yeah, I really need to go revisit and see what that build pipe now looks like in VSTS and take a look for it. It would do the trick for us because, yeah, like I said, we already use it for the Windows builds. It's so we're almost there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well,
nice.
Well, with that, let's go ahead and switch and play our interview here with Donovan and Gopi that we recorded live from Ignite 2017.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by ShareGate. ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 365 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check them out on ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive.
Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focused on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make that happen. With the Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out for free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/trynwc.
All right, this is Andrew. I'm sitting here today at Ignite 2017, and today I got two special guests with us today to talk about VSTS and release management, CI/CD, all the cool stuff with DevOps that goes along on the Microsoft story. So I'll let you two gentlemen first go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi. I'm Gopinath. I'm the Group Program Manager, Visual Studio Team Services. I specifically own the CI/CD release management solution.
My name is Donovan Brown. I am the Principal DevOps Manager at Microsoft on the CDA team, or the Cloud Developer Advocacy team. So I take tools that he builds and make sure that they work seamlessly with Azure so you can deploy any app you write into the any platform that you want.
Awesome. So we've had, on our show in the last few years, I mean, when we've come and covered Build, we come cover Ignite, we talk different things. It always comes up that, you know, DevOps has always had a footprint inside the keynotes at some point during the time. And you see it, everybody's like, wow, these guys are really open to more and more stuff. And I think that the thing that a lot of my listeners are coming back is they're really surprised at how open Microsoft is to all of this. I know, Donovan, you said, you know, we said it in our little bit of a pre-show a second ago, and I know you said it on stage a few times on, you know, any language, any platform.
It's an awareness issue is what it happens to be, because that statement not only is true now, it's been true for a while. Yeah. And we just can't seem to get people to recognize that, yes, it's called Visual Studio. Yes, it comes from Microsoft, but that does not mean it only works for .NET and Windows. It works for Linux, it works for Node, it works for Java, it works for PHP, it works for Python, works for your iPhone, your Android, it works for containers, AWS. Like, guys, stop thinking that it only works for .NET on Windows. It's so frustrating to me sometimes that people just won't get it. I just spent 6 weeks in Europe touring 7 different countries just so I could go say those words, any language, any platform, to Java communities and Node communities. And what's interesting is they love what they see. They just had no idea it was even out there. And that's the number one response that I get is, I had no idea Microsoft could do that. It's an awareness issue.
Yeah, it's funny. I sat in the room when you did it in Belgium at Techorama a couple weeks ago. So I was a speaker there as well. And I saw the same message. I'm like, going, it's the same message. I keep hearing the same thing. It's like they're hammering it away as much as they possibly can. And it's, how much do you see that? I mean, I got a bunch of things I want to ask you guys, but how much do you guys see that, you know, really resonating or seeing the non-Microsoft crowd taking advantage of VSTS and using it with your tools, either and using it in the context of like Azure-based deployments or using Azure services or even deploying them somewhere else, if it's on-prem or if it's another public cloud?
Right, okay. So we do have, you know, wonderful support for multi-cloud strategy, so people can use us to target Amazon. So essentially, we have a bunch of AWS customers who are using VSTS to deploy to AWS in addition to Azure. Obviously, Azure, we have optimized. Sure. Best DevOps optimized solution available for Azure. But, you know, as Donovan was also saying, we are completely open, you know, any language, any platform. When I say any platform, be it Linux, be it Windows, and be it, you know, multi-cloud perspective, you know, be it Google, be it, you know, AWS, be it Azure. We fully support that. And in also on the on-prem perspective, I think, you know, we have a nice integration with VMware. We have a very good integration with SCVMM. And if you're using raw VMs, Linux or Windows, we have full support for it.
What do you not have support for?
That's actually a shorter list, right? I think the only thing right now is mainframe.
Mainframe is one of the questions Mainframe is one of the questions that we just, you know,
exactly.
People asking me, saying, oh, we are on mainframe. How do I do the deployment? If you have command line, we have deploying it,
exactly.
We have support for it.
Exactly.
That's what we tell today.
So, but I'll be honest, that's one of the questions that I want to come here with, because I keep hearing all the stuff that I do. It's like, all right, look, what is not done? What is not covered in it? Because it seems that everything keeps getting said is covered. I mean, it's impressive by what VSTS can actually take advantage of, what it can use, what it can connect to, what it can talk to, and the pipelines you can set up and everything. That just, it's amazing.
And I even extend any platform to your Android phone and your iOS and your Raspberry Pi. And we literally, there was a guy who had our build agent running on a Raspberry Pi. This is guys doing continuous delivery to his IoT device, right? So when I say any language, any platform, I mean it. Yeah. And I keep tweeting over and over again, one of these days, you guys are gonna believe me. because what happened was when the AWS announcement came, right? So AWS dropped their extension, but basically said, if you wanted to use VSTS to deploy to AWS, here is every task you need, and you can reach every resource you have in AWS. And I tweeted, one of these days, you'll believe me. Any language, any platform.
It really says it right there, yeah. Absolutely.
And the interesting thing is the AWS extension is actually built by the AWS team.
Is it really?
Yes. Right, so they have
So this is not something, you guys didn't build this
That's
for
not
them. This is something they brought, they wanted to be on your platform.
Right.
That's
and
cool.
And, you know, great thing about the VSTS platform is we are open and extensible. Given our extensibility, we now have extensions for everybody. You know, you can just name it Chef, we have extension. You can name it Ansible, we have an extension.
Octopus,
we have an extension. So you pick up any of the key CI/CD solutions, mm-hmm. I think we have a story to talk about it, either built into the product or as an extension that is available.
Another one as good is how well we integrate with Jenkins.
Yep.
Right? Jenkins, when I go out and speak to customers, that is the number one CI system I come up against. Like, everyone is using Jenkins for something in their organization. And the question that I get all the time is, well, is VSTS as good as Jenkins? I'm like, no, it's better than Jenkins. Now, Jenkins has the foothold it has because of what our build system used to look like. Let's be clear, man. Our build systems went on the third generation of what it is, right? Started off with MS Build, as like you had to talk directly to MS Build. And then we gave you an abstraction layer with our XAML builds, which are basically Windows workflow. If you understood Windows workflow, you understood how powerful that was. If you didn't, it was a nightmare. And then we finally decided, you know what? Let's just reset. Let's rewrite this as a task runner and allow us to have an ecosystem like the marketplace where people can contribute new tasks to us. And we now have a system that I think is top notch. It's not a good enough system. I will put this up against Jenkins and Travis and you name a CI system, I will put our CI system up against it proudly and say, bring it, right?
So does it act as a replacement for these other things? So if I'm a corporation that's got a significant investment in Jenkins and I've already got, you know, a really tight pipeline that's set in, but I want to start taking advantage of some of the things that we'll get into with VSTS and its integration with Azure and how clean everything is. Is it a clean lift and shift that I've got to ditch Jenkins and then go over?
Absolutely not. And that's a key point. In the past, our perception was that's what you had to do. If you wanted to use TFS 2005 or 2008, you had to abandon whatever it was you were using before. And we're still fighting that reputation. Because in 2015, we changed the paradigm. We think more about each individual action, CI, work item tracking, continuous delivery. And we allow you to replace that with whatever tool that you want. So if I were to meet a customer like the one that you would describe, I would say, let's leverage all the investment you've already made in Jenkins, right? That is, it's working, it's not broken, let's not fix it. But let me take those artifacts that you're producing in your Jenkins build and deploy them for you with release management, which you can now target everywhere.
So put VSTS on the end of the whole thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And potentially at the beginning, right? Because you have work item tracking. Let's level set on what VSTS is, right? Because I think a lot of people think that it's one thing or another. It is literally everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. That means it's your work item tracking, your version control, your continuous integration, continuous delivery, package management, test case management, all rolled into one product that you can then tease apart should you choose to. I already have an investment in Jenkins. I don't want to throw that away. Great. You can put our work item tracking on one end and you can put our release management on the other end, right? You have packages that you're producing like Maven packages or NuGet packages. Store those in our package management. That's great. You're building a Docker image. Great. You can put that inside of Azure Container Registry. We literally are the only vendor on earth that has everything that you need. But we understand that people are still fearing vendor lock-in, right? That is a true fear. They're afraid that if we lock in with one vendor, we'll never be able to then use the bleeding edge or something new that would help us. And we've torn those walls down. We have APIs going in and out of every piece that we write that will enter, and these are standard REST APIs, service hooks, so that you can put in whatever tool that you want. But what I ask everyone to do in the scenario that you just described is let's go ahead and put in release management at the end of Jenkins. Now do me a favor, the very next build that you have to write from scratch, try our system.
Instead of going through Jenkins, try and go through VSTS.
Exactly, for your build as well. And see if you don't love it.
Exactly.
And just tell me if you don't love it or not.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is they'll do that, and they start ripping out Jenkins as fast as they possibly can.
Really?
I have the customers who use Jira for their work item tracking, GitHub Enterprise for their source code control system, Jenkins as their CI system, they use release management as their CD system. That's a true, different, systems that they use for their particular activity that they like to do.
So would you then say, I'm sorry if I interrupt, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
So is it maybe not the best way to say it, but I think it's a phrase that everyone uses to kind of make you understand it. Would you say like that the release management piece of VSTS, that's like the gateway drug to start getting into VSTS?
It's interesting. I don't know if I would think that.
Yeah, I don't know whether, that's what we will just to say it.
Yeah.
But I will just add one point though. The release management of VSTS is a lot more optimized for Azure deployments. If you are any time doing Azure deployments, I don't know whether there is any other better story for you to do it. Other than that, I don't know whether.
Yeah, and if there is a better story, you need to tweet at me or Gopi and tell us because we will go fix that.
You want to get it.
Yeah. There better not be a better system than VSTS and Azure as a 1-2 punch. If you feel that some other system out there is deploying to Azure better than we are, we need to fix that immediately. Now, and I want to be very clear, I'm not saying we're going to make theirs worse.
Right.
We're just going to simply make ours better. We want you to be, We're not going to put any roadblocks in it. Yeah, we're not going to roadblock them. But we need to have and better have the best experience possible. Source control used to be the way that we got people in, right? Because a lot of our old customers were upgrading from VSS, So they'd go to TFS, which was a much more enterprise-grade source control system. So that used to, if there ever was like a gateway, that used to be it for us. Release management is just so good, people want to use it no matter what CI system they currently have in place.
It sounds like that's the easiest thing to be able to snap into my existing pipeline, that if I already have a certain process set up there, that's going to be the easiest thing, that is you can just jump on the end and say, no, let me go through and deploy it for you, but you can leave the rest of the stuff there, but then I can start to slowly, is it then like almost when you want to do your migration, let's take the Jenkins example.
Sure.
Again, I've gone through and I've taken VSTS for the release management piece to take the artifacts that come out, and I'm going to have that be my deployment to Azure, but I still have my existing Jenkins, yep. You know, from start to finish. Am I then going to start whittling it down and end up turning into being like the strangulation pattern where I'm going to, as it goes through, like this piece is going to get moved over to VSTS, and then this piece will move over.
Potentially. That's definitely a way that you could migrate. What I find is people realize that they've forgotten, and I want to be very clear with how I say this, right? Jenkins is the lion's share because there was a period where Jenkins was simply the best option. I honestly believe that
it's
no
longer
the
only option.
Or the only option at one point, right? Especially when you're talking about open source stuff, because the reputation that we have, we earned it, right? The reason that people think we only do .NET on Windows really well is because there was a time where we only did .NET on Windows really well. And so I don't want anyone to think that they're misjudging us. That was a true fact. And Jenkins just ran roughshod over us, right? They just took over the market. And now we're having to go back and tease that apart. And I don't think people remember how painful it was to get Jenkins going. They've already paid all that. They've paid all that tax, and now they got kind of figured it out. I install Jenkins usually monthly from scratch just to see how painful it is, and is our system truly better than theirs or not. If you want to start Greenfield, I will put our system up against Jenkins any day, and you will be ready. You will be going before you download the bits to install your Jenkins server.
So to your other question, to add one more point of, do you consider release management as that, you know, key entry point, or is that the way to get in people? I think, you know, given the timeline, today release management is our differentiator, right? You know, Jenkins is already, you know, everywhere it is established, and CI is established everywhere, work items is established everywhere, source control system is established everywhere. But if you look at the CD or the release management, there is no one single winner. And then that's where, you know, we have a, you know, I don't know whether crown jewel, you know, I'm part of it, but that's what is the key differentiator in the entire DevOps system.
You know what else I think is interesting is that where we are in the evolution from the second decade of Agile, that's where people are stuck. And I think that's another reason why release management is so crucial for us right now, is because that's where most people are on their maturity model. As Gopi just said, they figured out source control, they figured out continuous integration, but many of them are still manually deploying into their production environments, right. And that's what they need to fix. And we always focus on what hurts most first. Jenkins doesn't hurt the most anymore because I have it in place. Source control doesn't hurt anymore because I have it in place. But man, manually deploying every week, that is killing us. What can we use? And I, like I said, just like I would put our build system up against anyone, our release management system is, it's fantastic.
Well, and that's the piece too, that I think that when most developers, most enterprises, when they start to see the power or the benefit of having a good release management, where I have more confidence in shipping or deploying on a higher cadence,
absolutely.
Then you ship at a higher cadence, which you have better quality software because you have fewer, smaller things that you're going to be shipping, generally speaking, which allows you to fail fast, or at least fail forward fast, and get those things fixed a whole lot easier. So you talked a lot about the whole, you know, release management, you have first-class release management when it comes to Azure. So what does that mean in terms of, like, you know, what things in Azure, or am I setting myself up for like a kind of a softball question for you guys here, where it's everything, but it's like, you know, if I'm building something that I want to be able to have it pushed as like a VM, or I want to have it as a web app to an app service, or maybe as like an Azure function, or any of those things, or maybe as a container registry and then spit up an instance, as an ACI, what does the release management story look like in terms of coverage in Azure, and how easy is it to set up with all the different services?
All the tasks you need to do everything that you just said come out of the box.
Yeah, that's what I thought I was going to be calling
the softball. There's nothing to download. There's nothing to go figure out. It literally, the task to do everything that you just described and much more, it's just in the box already. It's just waiting for you to use it.
Just point click, it's right there. I take my existing things, spin up a new resource group if I have to, spin up a new
using
asset.
Using an ARM template, we'll do infrastructure's code right there in your pipeline. We even have templates that say, oh, you want to go to app service and you happen to be doing Node.js, just click this one button and we'll stand up your entire pipeline for you. And because VSTS has such an extensible backend, there's so many REST APIs, there's open source projects popping up all the time. I wrote one myself to where you answer four questions on a command line, and I'll put your dev, QA, and prod environment stood up using infrastructure as code, a sample app, your whole CI, whole nine yards. It's 4 minutes. So I got to tell this story. So I was I was overseas. No, I was actually this. I did this in South Africa, and I went to a Java user group, and I told them how Microsoft has transitioned to Agile. The nice 45-minute talk. There's no demos, no nothing. And at the end of it, I said, "Before we go, if you had started from scratch with nothing, right? And this is what I want. I want you to build me a Spring MVC application." I want a full CI. In my CI, I want to run JUnit test. I want to have SonarQube integration. I want to have code coverage. And then I want to take the WAR file and I want to deploy it to three different environments, dev, QA, and prod. And I want to do all of this with all open source stuff. How long would it take you? And I got the answer 4 hours. Like, they think that if they got in at 8, by lunch, they'd be done, right? They'd have an entire pipeline. I was like, okay, great. 4 minutes later, I was done.
That's impressive.
Yes, 4 minutes that's later, impressive. I was done. And they were just like, what just happened to me? That's what we can do for you at Microsoft. And it's just about how many times do I have to show this before you believe me that I took, oh my God, you could have started 3 hours and 56 minutes before me. And I will type and I'll be done before you're done. It's amazing what we can do with the tool set that we've built. It's any language, any platform.
It's got to help too, getting that message across too, with Azure as a whole being like so much more open to things like, well, especially the push to, well, from the perceptive push to trying to get more of Linux to come inside of Azure. I mean, you see a lot of people that are already on Linux are flocking over to it and taking advantage of it, but really you see more of a push. I mean, sitting through some briefings earlier this weekend, I mean, I see a lot of people asking about, what about PowerShell? What about PowerShell? It's like, we're focusing on CLI. You read between the lines, like going, that's because the Linux guys, they want the CLI, right? They want the CLI to come first. We want to focus on getting those guys there. And it's nothing against the PowerShell guys, but, you know, resources, all that stuff, we want to focus on where we want to focus on.
We want to meet the people where they are, because PowerShell actually runs on Linux, and it runs on Mac, right? So, but we want to meet them where they are.
Yeah, it's what they're comfortable with. They're comfortable with the CLI. Well, PowerShell does go there. They're comfortable with this, so that's what they want to...
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And even if you look at the keynote where Lore spun up a SQL server on Linux in like 3 seconds, right? And then here you are. And so yeah, the openness, I always joke this is not your daddy's Microsoft, right? This is simply not the Microsoft you remember. It's a Microsoft that is completely open. And I just got to figure out how can I can beat that drum louder.
Yeah, well, as a technologist, it's always a hell of a lot more fun in this world than it was like 5 years ago or something like that. When you have these artificial walls up just because business is saying we don't want to do that. But you know, somebody, you like the tech, you just want to get stuff done. We want to be developers, want to sit there and ship stuff. Doesn't matter the tech. It's just like we want to go and ship stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to add, Microsoft loves Linux.
Right? Yeah,
Microsoft loves Linux, and the Linux is growing in Azure. And then we have a optimized event deployment story. You know, you look at .NET Core. You know, you were just talking about SQL Server. .NET Core is optimized for it. PowerShell is now supporting it. Whereas in our case, you know, every deployment story, we try to make sure that you can run it on Mac, you can run it on Linux, you can run it on Windows. Completely.
Yeah, I always tell this story. I couldn't believe it. So I joined Microsoft about almost 4 years ago, and I'm so excited. I'm thinking, man, I'll never have to touch another OS again. And I carry a MacBook Pro with me. I have a Linux machine at the house. I have Parallels running, so I'm saying, I come to Microsoft and now I own every OS ever because everything that we do has to work everywhere. So it was just so weird to come to Microsoft and for the very first time in my life install Linux, right? After I joined Microsoft. Like, let that sink in for a second. I joined Microsoft, go learn how to install Linux. Like, what?
Yeah.
Where do I work?
As somebody who's got, I traditionally like 15 years been as a SharePoint developer and more on the Office 365 side. In the last few years, spent more time with containers and still trying to using Azure to deploy and to host all my containers and stuff. And it's been, you know, spent more time with Linux in the last 2 or 3 years in the Microsoft cloud than I was doing anything. Everything was all Windows before that too. And so it's nice to see a lot of like, you know, the learnings that Microsoft has had too from this more openness and how Windows has benefited and how Azure has benefited from this world as well and stuff.
So on the containers, I think, you know, ACS, our Azure Container System, maybe is the only one which supports Docker Swarm, Kubernetes, DCYS.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether any cloud,
I don't think so.
As a support for all. I think 2 months ago, AWS just now signed up. They are now also being partners for Kubernetes.
Yeah.
But they had their own. But otherwise, I think Azure is 100%. And we have support for all the three container system deployments.
Yeah, whatever orchestrator you want to use, you can use it.
So what does the story look like then for like VSTS if I want to deploy and integrate with a Kubernetes system? If I want
The task is already there. It's literally a task.
To go through and to start standing up the rolling updates from V1 to V2. If it doesn't look good, it knows how to roll it back and everything.
Yeah,
it's already done.
My team's website, so I built a team of DevOps practitioners underneath me. Our team's website is running inside of Kubernetes. We practice what we preach. So we have a DevOps pipeline that has a single task in it that deploys the latest version for us. It blew my mind. So I sat down one weekend and was trying to say, I want to learn Kubernetes, so I'm going to move our entire application there. And when I was done, I just simply could not believe that it was just one task. Like, where's all the hard stuff, right? Like, where's the hard stuff? This is supposed to be scary.
That's got to feel good, too, to know that, I mean, the system is architected that way to make it that simple. It's surprising, when it's surprisingly simple, it shows, you know, it's a nice kind of a setup that's all done that
way.
Yeah,
I figured, like, what did I do wrong? That's the first thing I thought, right? There's only one task here. What did I do wrong?
Yeah. I think people just say, hey, you know what, configuring and setting up Kubernetes and the deployments are complicated, but it's a sophisticated, fantastic system. But I think in our task, there are 5 or 6 parameters that you just need to enter, and all of them are drop-downs. That's it. You are done. So
what about on the story on like the open source side, right? You know, so I know you guys, we talked a little bit about it already. You know, we talked about being able to leverage, integrate with GitHub, being able to integrate with Jira and how that for work items and stuff like that. You know, what other kind of things can we look at here from VSTS that it has to offer from, if you're coming from a more open source kind of a background, and like your story that you had from South Africa, doing everything from Java space. I mean, are you replacing all of these tools with VSTS? Are you integrating them with VSTS? Are you doing both? Is it kind of whatever you really feel like?
I mean, the answer is both.
The answer is both.
Yeah, and one thing that I remember, I almost got in a little Twitter argument with someone once who said, man, VSTS would be great if I could use it for open source. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, half the stuff I do now is actually hosted in GitHub and built with VSTS, and I'm reporting the same badges as everyone else. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I bet it doesn't support pull requests, right? I'm like, hold on. And what I do at Microsoft is I don't know the answer. I'll add Gopier, I'll add Chris Patterson or one of the other PMs inside of Microsoft to that trojan. And he's like, yes, you can. Yeah. And we're like, the guy simply was out there spouting information that was simply perception that was wrong. I'm like, come on, man, before you can't, our reputation can't support you having wrong information and then tweeting about it, right? So I wasn't trying to be rude, but I'm like, I got to correct everything that you're saying because you're not right. Yeah. We use it constantly with GitHub. It's like in the dropdown. And when I say out of the box, I mean it's out of the box support for GitHub. So you don't have, can you replace everything? Yes. Are we encouraging you to do that? Not necessarily, right? Because I want you to fix what hurts most first. And as we've described, what hurts most right now for most of our customers is the part that release management does for you, right? And what I think is going to happen, and I tell this to everyone, once you start using release management, your deployment won't hurt the most anymore. And you can go back and focus on one of those things you thought you had fixed really well that now is the pain point. Right, because you fix this, and now you can go back and look, is my branching strategy good? Am I getting what I need out of my Git source control? Or maybe it's my CI system's a little slower and it doesn't scale or doesn't target the right platforms that I need. So now that hurts most since we got this one fixed. And then you can go and focus on that. And what's interesting is, as you start to mature in DevOps, you have to revisit different portions of your pipeline from time to time, because as you really get good at one area, you'll start to realize that the bottleneck is now back over here, right? And that's what I would encourage people to do, is don't rip and replace. Fix what hurts the most, and then see if when you identify that CI is where we need to go focus now, give our CI system a hard look, because the traceability that I showed in the keynote, it's unparalleled. You create a branch that is automatically associated to a work item. That's all the developer ever has to do, and you do that automatically from the Kanban board. You're going to commit code like you always would. And in the background, we're taking those commits and we're associating them to that particular work item for you. Those commits are going to trigger CI builds automatically for you. Those builds know what work item they're associated to. Those CI builds are going to kick off releases. That release also knows what requirement that it's associated to. So all I did is created a branch, and I started doing my work like normal. And at any point, I can open that work item, tell you how many lines of code were changed, I can tell you what builds triggered, and I can even tell you where it is deployed in your infrastructure right now, because a guy created a branch, right? No one else can do that stuff but us, right? It's amazing.
I had no idea. That's really cool.
That traceability is really, really amazing.
Yes.
Now, I'll just tell one more story on the OS. So I was talking to a customer, you know, I don't know whether I can name the customer, but they were on Java, they were on Jenkins, they were deploying to AWS, and now, you know, they wanted a good enterprise-class security kind of a solution, so they just said, hey, you know, for a top level, they decided we will use Azure and AAD for it. Right. Once they decided, they said, okay, you know what, we want to have a good CI/CD solution. And they already have set up, you know, a bunch of these available. They come and then talk to us saying that we want to use you, but do you guys have support for Java? We said, yes. Do you guys have support for Maven? We said, yes. Do you guys have support for Jococo, code coverage solution? Yeah. We said, yes. Do you guys have support for Tomcat, because that's what is my deployment? Yeah. We said, yes. Do you guys have support for Ansible, because that's what is our Ansible deployment system? Yes. Welcome. All you need to do is just change your AAD you know, Azure system, you're all set up fully. It'll work end to end. That's the story.
It's like what you said, to flip it around. The question is, what do you not support? That's the one you really want to ask, because everything else is a yes kind of thing. So let's say somebody wants to go through and get set up with this. They want to start, you know, giving it a shot. You know, what is the call to action? Where do you send them to start getting started? We've talked about, you want to try and release management, but if I want to try and take an existing project and see, let's see what this experience is like from soup to nuts, where would you send them as like, here's how you can get started, here's the video to watch, or here's the step-by-step to try this out?
VisualStudio.com.
VisualStudio.com.
Exactly. VisualStudio.com, and when you get there, you're going to see three different tiles, one for Visual Studio Code, one for Visual Studio, and one for VSTS, or Visual Studio Team Services. And you'll be able to drill in there and start to get videos and quick starts and hands-on labs. And my team is also responsible for making sure that those videos are what you need. There's also open source tools. You can literally say, there's my code, go build me a pipeline against my code, and there's tools that will go do it. Even the Azure portal now will do that, right? So you can say, I have a repo in GitHub. It's a ASP.NET Core application, and I'd love to use VSTS to deploy into Azure. And that's the same demo I did in the keynote. You simply say, there's my GitHub repo, there's the master branch, it's a .NET Core app. Hell, I like to run load test while you do that, and why don't you do deployment slots too, and we'll wire it all up for you and let you kick the tires of it right there just by running through that wizard. That wizard takes about 40 seconds to run.
That's right? Pretty cool.
It's nuts.
That's pretty compelling.
Yes.
That's pretty damn compelling.
Yes.
So that's the next question too, is where do they go to learn more? Well, that's visualstudio.com. Click on VSTS.
Yes, exactly. And that's going to springboard them into docs.microsoft.com, videos on Channel 9, videos of my own, places, forums, and blog posts that they can read from Gopi and his team. And also, believe it or not, at Donovan Brown on Twitter and Gopi, we are
actively
on Twitter. I am very aggressive on Twitter because I want our customers to feel that they can reach inside Microsoft and get the help that they need. And I also allow it, it's a great way for me to get feedback from our customers. Are you struggling? Are you hurting? Why could you not find that? Let me go, where were you looking? Because we need to put that in your face, right? Because we have the answer, and I'm sorry you didn't find it, but here it is, and I'm going to work harder so that the next person doesn't have the same experience you did. And I literally add the guys inside of Microsoft to those conversations and to make sure that we address our customers' concerns.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys' time for talking about sharing this with our listeners.
Pleasure.
I mean, I think that this is something that I know that, you know, from the SharePoint side, the SharePoint developers, the Office 365 guys, the more and more that as from a SharePoint environment too, as a lot of our listeners are coming from, a lot of our developers coming from, you know, we're being pushed more and more to the cloud. And so a lot more of the server-side solutions that we want to build all need to be hosted somewhere. The story for that is definitely Azure. So having a story like this too for release management, making all this entire process for deployment makes life easier. And I really appreciate taking the time to sit there and help them understand what this
is. Sure, and even on the SharePoint side, there's like 5 extensions in the marketplace now catered just to SharePoint.
Really?
Yes, on making sure that the deployment is as seamless as it possibly can be. And I remember when there was only 2, I searched the other day after my session and there was 5, and people are constantly adding value to our platform.
Very cool.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users and organizational directories such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
I did have one regret for this interview.
Ooh, what's that?
I messed this up. I have one thing I'm happy. I got one question into him that I've been wanting to ask him for a long time, which is, you see him get up on stage and he's always like, what does it support? It supports this, it supports this, it supports this. You can do this, you can do this. I finally asked him, I was like going, can I ask, what does it not support?
Right.
I got the answer.
Nice.
You got to dig in and listen to the interview. But the other thing, hey, one more thing. We didn't do our picks with Donovan. And you and I wanted to do our picks on the live show.
Yeah, and we ran out of time.
But we didn't get a chance to. Yeah, we ran out of time. So do you think we should? Do you want to do our picks today for the live show?
Sure.
Okay. How about I go first? I know I'm kind of springing this on you the last minute, and you didn't get a chance to kind of pull yours up just yet. But
No worries. I'm good.
All right. So I'm going to do my picks. My first pick is, I know this is going to be a shocker, it's a NASA pick. NASA designed this low-tech rover to survive Venus. And so it's an article by Wired.com that has a cool little, that talks about building how NASA created this little rover that can actually land and drive around on Venus. There's no plans to ship it yet. They need VSTS for release management, but they are they are going to end up shipping this or sending this out. We'll see when that actually comes up. My other link is about documenting your architecture. So let's go back to the developer side. It's called Documenting Your Architecture, Wireshark, Planet UML, and REPL to glue them all together. So effectively, Planet UML is a Java-based app that allows you to take text and it generates a UML sequence diagram of a flow of how things happen. The post that I'm going to link to here, what is kind of cool is this guy shows you how to use Wireshark, how to listen to your processes going back and forth. It documents everything. You're going to want to go. There's a lot of stuff that gets documents for all the requests and responses. But what it allows you to do is it creates this giant export of a JSON file or this file that comes out. You can apply some filtering to it and then run it through Planet UML. And then now your application's built. You have a full UML sequence diagram picture that will show you, hey, here's what happens with your application.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that one.
I like it. Staying on the geeky bandwagon for a second, and from the expo floor at Ignite, there's a company called Yubico, that's Yubico.com. They make these little USB two-factor authentication sticks, for want of a better word. You can use them for personal use or business use. They basically, like, you know how when you log into GitHub and you've got two-factor auth on, they ask you to punch in a little code from your authenticator app on your phone? Instead of doing that, you could pop a little USB stick in and you just tap your finger on it. I guess it's fingerprint. And it gives the two-factor auth response. I guess that I'm probably completely bastardizing the terminology here. And so you could log in with a little USB stick. They make little USB sticks that stick out maybe 1 or 2 millimeters from the side of your computer. It is stunning.
Oh, that's...
Anyway, they're called YubiKeys. You can use them for personal use, which is what I'm going to do with them, for things like Facebook, Google, Salesforce, GitHub, Dropbox, all of that sort of stuff. And they are working on Azure Active Directory integration, according to their people at the booth. I don't think it's live just yet, but it means you'll be able to log into your Office 365 account with one of these sticks, which is pretty sweet. Because personally, like, as much as I like the Authy app and, you know, using the codes and stuff like that, it is still a bit of a pain in the butt. So I would just like a little stick that I could pop on the side of my computer, just leave it there, tap my finger on it, boom, authenticated.
That's cool. I like that.
I'll start with all my personal services and then I'll move to Office 365 when they add that. But pretty sweet.
You're going to have to report how you like that, because that's when we talked about that last week at Ignite, that sounded really interesting. It's something I'd like to give a shot as well. So I'm going to let you be my guinea pig.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I got one of the bigger ones, the YubiKey 4, which is kind of large, but they've got like the YubiKey 4 Nano, which is like the little teeny tiny one that sticks out of the side, which is like $50.
All USB, not USB-C?
There is a USB-C one as well, but it's a little larger. Oh, actually, sorry. There is a YubiKey 4C Nano for USB-C ports now. That's brand new.
Hmm.
And that's the one it's like this tiny little nub that just sort of sticks out of the side of your computer. It's pretty cool.
Oh, check that out. Yeah, that is tiny.
Isn't it? I got another pick, which is non-technical, but sort of technical. If you go to conferences, you know how your feet always end up hurting a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you sit in sessions and you're either too hot or too cold or what have you. My wife bought a pair of shoes called Allbirds, which are, I think they're a US company, but there's a Kiwi guy involved who, they make shoes made out of merino wool, which is like super breathable, keeps you cool in the heat, keeps you warm in the cold. Merino is like the magical material of textiles. It's like, it's incredible. It's all the fibers are hollow, so they act kind of weird. But allbirds.com, and they make a couple of different men's shoes, a couple of different women's shoes. And I swear by them, man, my feet, they hurt at the end of the week regardless, because there's a lot of walking around. But these things were kick-ass for conferences. Anyway, I really like them.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Pro tip.
Plus, it reminds me of home.
I won't go there. I'll just leave it at that.
Bye. All right.
Awesome. Hey, man, another good interview. Good fun at Ignite. And I hope everybody enjoyed the interview with Gopi and Donovan Brown today on VSTS.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3, and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music
head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.